Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Earlier this week, the DA who prosecuted Philip Garrido for the abduction and rape of J.C. Dugard released hair-raising videos on his website. One depicts a parole officer visiting the home where the Garridos kept Dugard captive for 18 years in Antioch. That DA was in Sacramento yesterday, reviewing the Garrido case for state lawmakers and urging them to tighten parole policies for the future. KPCC's Julie Small has more.
El Dorado County District Attorney Vern Pearson faults federal and state parole officials for failing to supervise Philip Garrido properly after he'd been released from prison. Garrido was sentenced to 50 years to life in federal prison for kidnapping and raping a woman in Nevada, but he won parole after serving just a fraction of that sentence. Pearson was a featured speaker at a community meeting Wednesday in the state capitol on weaknesses in parole laws and practices. Pearson says what bothers him most was that parole was based on reports from prison psychiatrists who said the sex offender posed little risk to the public because he'd behaved well in prison.
I think we all know intuitively the way somebody behaves in custody is very often very different from the outside.
The El Dorado district attorney fears another Garrido is only a matter of time. A recent change in California law prevents state officials from denying parole based solely on an inmate's crime. 3 years ago, the California Supreme Court upheld that law, ruling state officials must show some evidence that an inmate still posed a threat to society. Pearson says the change has led to parole for a record number of convicted murderers, including one this week from his county of El Dorado.
A woman who smothered her two young children was ordered released by the Department of Corrections here in California. The basis for her release is that she hasn't gotten in trouble in custody, and the psychologists think that she's not a danger.
Vern Pearson says the state parole board denied the woman's release. The El Dorado County DA says the board based its decision on the vulnerability of the woman's victims and the severity of the crime. But, says Pearson, an appeals court overturned the denial. Republican State Senator Ted Gaines, who represents the area where Garrido snatched Dugard, says psychological assessments of inmates are fraught with problems.
Many of these individuals are very manipulative. They know how to work people to get the result that they're looking for.
Senator Gaines plans to introduce legislation to restore the state parole board's power to look closely at the type of crime an inmate committed and weigh its severity, and then use that as a reason to deny parole. The hearing isn't the first time California's parole practices have come under official scrutiny and criticism. Following Garrido's arrest in 2009, the Office of Inspector General for Prisons issued 15 recommendations for improvements. Lee Seal with California's Department of Corrections testified the agency's implemented nearly all of them.
What I'd like to do is spend just a couple minutes assuring everyone present here today that the lessons of this tragic event are not lost at the state level.
Lee Seal says California's Department of Corrections has improved sex offender training for parole officers and worked to prevent the misclassification of high-risk parolees. Parole agents have received increased training on conducting and supervising house searches. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small in Sacramento.
State Controller John Chung is asking California's 72 community college districts to submit information on employee pay for the database he's compiling of local government salaries. The Sacramento Bee has reported that community college executive pay, perks, and retirement benefits vary widely, but some officials make a pretty penny. The head of the Los Rios Community College District in Sacramento County, for example, makes about $390,000 a year. A month after Governor Jerry Brown called out California State University officials for the size of their pay packages, the California Report's education reporter Anna Tintakalis tells us state lawmakers are taking a closer look.
The new president of San Diego State University will earn $400,000 a year. That's twice as much as what the nation's chief justice brings home. CSU officials approved the hefty pay package last month, and at the same time, they approved a double-digit tuition hike for students. Officials admit it was bad timing on their part, but say they have to offer big paychecks to get big talent. State Senator Leland Yee disagrees.
For those educators, I welcome you to leave California. I hope you leave California because I want those individuals who are going to be leaders of education to set a good example.
Yee is one of three lawmakers who want to change CSU compensation practices. He's bringing back his bill, which was vetoed last year, that prevents officials from giving raises when there are deep state budget cuts and tuition hikes. Two other bills also would cap pay. The measures come as a special CSU Committee on Compensation is expected to meet next week. Cal State Fullerton student Greg Washington hopes it'll be more than just lip service.
It's very frustrating when every single time we're looking for answers, it seems like the finger's being pointed at somebody else.
But CSU spokesman Michael Uhlenkamp says they are looking out for students by recruiting the very best people to run their campuses during the state budget crisis.
No one at the California State University is going to say that a $400,000 total compensation package is not a lot of money. It is, and we're all aware of that. But the salaries of all of the presidents at our 23 campuses, that accounts for 0.2% of our operating expenditures. So it's a very, very small portion of the overall picture.
The new CSU Committee on Compensation is expected to come back with its recommendations next month. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
When the state expands Medi-Cal to comply with the federal health care reform law in 2014, millions of Californians who are uninsured now are likely to gain access to the program. That's the finding of a new study out from the Public Policy Institute of California. Alex Liu reports.
Right now, Medi-Cal enrolls only low-income children, their parents, and the disabled. But in 2014, Medi-Cal coverage will expand significantly to include low-income adults without dependent children. An estimated 2 to 3 million more Californians will soon qualify for the program. The newly eligible are a young group who look to be relatively healthy, says study author Helen Lee.
So from a cost perspective, that's pretty good news, especially because younger and healthier tends to mean lower cost.
One in four of the newly eligible, however, reportedly suffer from at least one chronic disease. This means enrolling healthy patients will be key to ensuring there's enough money to manage the sicker ones. Lee says it will be difficult to get young, healthy people to enroll for a program they don't think they need. The federal government will pick up the tab to cover the newly eligible Medi-Cal patients until 2017. After that, the state will gradually have to pay more for these patients each year. For the California Report, I'm Alex Liu.
That's the California Report for Thursday, August 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.